And we're now very pleased to be joined by the head of Vanguard's RIA group, Michael Lovett. Michael is on the executive team for Vanguard's financial advisor services business. He's responsible for distributing all of Vanguard's products to RIAs across the country and helping them grow their businesses. And of course, Vanguard is currently the second largest ETF provider with nearly $1 trillion in ETF assets. Michael is on the line with us from Malvern, Pennsylvania. Michael, thank you for joining us this week.
Thanks, Nate. It's a pleasure to be with you this morning.
So, Michael, let's start with Vanguard's most recent ETF fee cuts. These were announced a few weeks ago, 21 ETFs in all, impacting some $660 billion in investor assets. These included Vanguard's two most popular ETFs. Now, I guess I don't think we can talk about these fee cuts without first discussing Vanguard's unique structure. So let's maybe start there. For people unfamiliar, can you explain Vanguard's structure? And I know what some refer to as the Vanguard flywheel.
Yeah, no problem at all. So I'll start with the structure. So Vanguard is actually a mutual company. So what that actually means is the underlying investors actually own Vanguard. So if you think about a company, the company is listed on the stock exchange, it's owned by its investors. They actually get dividends through profit when that company makes a profit. What Vanguard does is it hopefully makes a profit, which we have successfully done over many years. But instead of giving that back to the investors as dividends, we give it back to the investors in the terms of lowering their expense ratios on the relevant funds or ETFs.
Well, and you talk about giving those savings back to investors. I saw a stat from Bloomberg's James Seifert that these fee cuts on these 21 ETFs would save investors nearly $90 million each and every year at the current asset levels. With these recent fee cuts, can you give us any insight into the decision-making process here? Is it just black and white, you know, look at the numbers, go from there, or is there more of a strategic decision-making element involved?
So I might touch on, you talked about the flywheel earlier on, and then I'll come into the decision-making. So what we talk about at Vanguard is the flywheel. The more assets we actually bring into Vanguard, the greater the scale benefits, hopefully the better the client experience. That allows us to actually continue moving the flywheel and ultimately leading to us driving scale into the business and therefore being able to actually give these price cuts. In terms of the decisions themselves, it is relatively cut and dried. We actually have prospectus year ends. We have 6 year ends for a range of all of our funds and ETFs. And so when those financial years end for those respective funds and ETFs, we have a decision to make at that period of time. Has that fund or ETF developed enough scale to actually drop the price on that? And in terms of these 21 ETFs you talk about, we actually announced them progressively through the first quarter and second quarter this year so far. And the reason we've been able to actually drop the fees on the ETFs is at Vanguard, we've developed a lot of scale in these ETFs over the last 3 years in particular. And it's actually been the largest category growing at Vanguard. In actual fact, ETFs have actually taken in about 35% of our total cash flow. So the ETFs are driving real scale, so we're able to drop the prices on these ETFs. And yes, you said that our biggest ETFs, like the S&P 500, has dropped from 4 to 3 basis points. But there's been a whole range of ETFs that have dropped.
You mentioned the flows into ETFs and how this has been the fastest growing part of the business. Right now, I believe Vanguard offers 18 ETFs that actually have lower expense ratios than their corresponding Admiral shares, which,
yep,
of course, is a mutual fund share class. Why is there a fee difference here? Is it because of those flows going into ETFs?
That's absolutely the reason. Over the last few years, the ETF category has actually driven more flows. And so as a result of that, we've needed to actually drop the price because we've been able to develop better efficiencies because of the scale in those particular products. So it was purely an economics decision that they've driven the scale there. And we, at some point in the future, we will continue to hopefully drop the Admiral prices as we develop more scale into those products as well.
I saw along with the ETF fee cuts, Vanguard branded a distinct group of ETFs. They're called Vanguard Select ETFs. I believe there are 13 ETFs,
yep,
in all. What was the purpose of doing this?
The purpose is really just to offer a streamlined set of ETF for investors seeking guidance. These 13 ETFs were chosen because they give the investors the building blocks to create a portfolio that meets three important criteria: diversification, low cost, and liquidity. And so we're really just trying to help our investors out. But that said, if you think about our range of ETFs, we tend to offer ones that really meet true investor needs and offer long-term enduring value. So we're not going to just start an ETF because it's a trend in the market. But what we're trying to do in this case is give them a little bit of an easy ability to create a long-term enduring portfolio.
Our guest is Michael Levitt, head of Vanguard's RIA group. Michael, overall, I don't think there's any question Vanguard is synonymous with low-cost investing. So I saw a stat that the average expense ratios for Vanguard's ETFs is 74% less than the industry average. And of course, there's a term that's been coined, the Vanguard effect, right? This refers to the phenomenon where when Vanguard moves into an investment category or drops fees in a category, everyone else seems to follow suit. It has the effect of bringing costs down across the category. The question I have is, where does this all end with fund fees? I mean, just this year, we've now seen ETFs launch with a zero fee expense ratio after fee waivers. There was a negative fee ETF approved yesterday, again, involving fee waivers. I know there's another U.S. equity ETF that launched with a cost of 2 basis points. What's the end game here?
Well, look, for us, we're quite proud of the fact of the Vanguard effect. We have driven prices down around the globe. So wherever Vanguard is, we've seen prices come down dramatically, and we think that's a great thing for investors. Where it ends, I can't tell you what our competitors are going to do, but we hope from a Vanguard perspective that as we continue to grow, that we will continue to pass on cost savings to our investors. But ultimately, there is actually a cost of running a mutual fund or an ETF, and so there are some products out there that are free or the like, and ultimately, the provider is getting paid somehow. So I'd just say to investors, really be careful about which products you're looking at and what you're actually buying. But we hope as an industry that costs come down, not only in ETF, but mutual funds in passive and active. We think investors are just better off for that fact.
What about commission-free ETF trading? So last week, one of the major brokerages expanded their lineup of commission-free ETFs, I think to around 570 ETFs. Of course, Vanguard already offers nearly every ETF commission-free, excluding some leverage and inverse ETFs. I've said that I think we'll see just about every ETF commission-free nearly everywhere at some point. I guess, again, the Vanguard effect. Do you agree with that?
Look, June last year, we announced that we were making roughly 1,800 ETFs free for trading on our platform out of about an industry number of 2,000. The ones we haven't made free are the inverse equity type ones and things like that, which are quite high risk. But yeah, we think that prices are coming down in terms of trading costs. Whether that ends up at zero, it obviously has on the Vanguard platform, on a number of platforms already have a number of their ETFs trading free, but not all. We would hope that those costs come down over the next few years.
All right, Michael, so to be fair, we can't talk about fees without talking about financial advisor fees as well. And the spotlight does seem to be shifting here as fund fees approach, you know, zero. Obviously, Vanguard offers a low-cost advisory service. But given your specific role, you're interacting with all sorts of financial advisors on a daily basis, right? So what kind of conversations are you having with advisors around fees?
We're talking to advisors about this all the time. And the first thing I'd say is from an advisor perspective, we haven't actually seen fees come down yet. We suspect that at some point in the future they will come down. There is certainly a lot of talk about it. But what we talk to advisors about is really understand your value proposition. What value are you trying to add to the underlying end investor? If you're just trying to add investment selection and ultimately putting a portfolio together, well, we say to advisors, be really careful because a computer can do that. It can do that at very low cost. It can do that providing market returns using index products. So if that's your value proposition, be really careful because there's going to be a lot of pressure on pricing in that regard with robos or services like Vanguard, which are hybrid, which is a combination of an advisor and a technology solution.
In terms of the range of services, what types of things are we talking about here?
So we would say to advisors, think about if you're a true wealth wealth planner, you're thinking about things like estate planning, tax, insurance. Some are doing some property stuff or accountancy. So it's really extending your range of services. And actually, many RAs already have that and have had it for many, many years. But we would say to those advisors who have been more that investment advisor, not the full wealth planner, think about how you can actually expand the range of services.
I know in addition to providing a range of services and taking a more customized approach, one of the things Vanguard preaches is the importance of behavioral coaching,
yep.
which is actually where I think advisors can provide perhaps the most value. What does that entail? What do you think is most important here?
So we've come up with this term, advisors alpha, and that's the alpha that an advisor can add to a portfolio above and beyond the investment selection. And we think advisors can add on average about 300 basis points to a client's portfolio. Of that, about half of that is behavioral coaching. And what that really means is really helping the underlying investor do things that they would normally do. So most of us, common behavioral finance is when markets are down and they're down aggressively, all right, let's get out of the market. Like, we're scared. In actual fact, that's the time you should be buying, or you should be dollar cost averaging back into the market. So behavioral coaching is really about stopping the average person doing what they're thinking is the right thing, but in most cases is not.
Well, Michael, really appreciate your time today. You know, fees are always a hot topic of debate. Thank you for joining us.
No problem at all, Nate. Really enjoyed being here, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. That was Michael Lovett, head of Vanguard's RIA Group.